Romans chapter 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will command you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. It is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We return this evening to the Table of Duties in Luther's Small Catechism, which consists of certain passages of Scripture for various holy orders and positions, admonishing them about their duties and responsibilities. This evening we consider the passages addressed to the third and fourth categories, the third and fourth holy orders on Luther's list, civil government and citizens. I noted last week, as we considered the duties and responsibilities of bishops, pastors, and preachers, that the quoted passages of Scripture didn't directly apply to anyone except those who serve in the office of the holy ministry. Similarly, the passage Luther cites concerning civil government doesn't apply directly to anyone except those who have been entrusted with civil authority. Now, that's a bit of an overstatement. I'll qualify it when we get to the category of citizens. Nevertheless, in the mandate Romans 13 provides for the governing authority, we learn important things about the task God has entrusted to civil government. The first thing to note is the source of governing authority. St. Paul writes, "The authorities that exist have been established by God." God, the creator of all things, the almighty ruler over everything, has established earthly authorities. St. Paul actually identifies the government as God's servant. God has given the government great authority in order to fulfill the responsibilities he has assigned to it. What are they? A little over 2 years ago, Linda and I saw a museum exhibit of various artifacts and documents connected with the Lutheran Reformation. Among the things on display was a large sword belonging to the city of Wittenberg, identified as the executioner's sword. The exhibit catalog indicated there was a record that it had been used in 1525, just 4 years before Luther wrote his catechisms, used to behead a woman who had killed her child. Many would ask, capital punishment? What about the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. St. Paul writes, The governing authority does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant and agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, if you do wrong, be afraid. It's clear that God has given the government authority to take the life of a citizen, which means government is also authorized to exact lesser punishments, such as taking away a person's freedom by putting them in prison, or seizing their property through fines or penalties. Of course, this mandate to punish those who do wrong is not merely for the purpose of exercising God's wrath, though it is that. It also serves to protect the rest of the citizenry from those who would do them harm. This involves a second responsibility of the governing authorities. They are God's servant to do you good, to commend you for doing what is right. Thus, those who exercise governmental authority are not only permitted, but mandated to do things that you and I as individuals are forbidden to do, including depriving those who break the law of life, liberty, or possessions, levying and collecting taxes, and many other things that provide for and support the common good. And it is not a sin, but rather good and right for them to do these things. This extends also to the armed forces. In a just war, their duty to protect comes with authority to use deadly force when necessary to accomplish that responsibility. Thus, a Christian can, in good conscience, serve in the holy office of civil government. The only qualification is that he must use the authority he receives in accordance with God's purposes. Concerning citizens, because all governing authority has been established by God, it is necessary to submit to that authority. I warned you last week that we would be coming back to that duty to submit, and not only to submit, but to respect and to honor. St. Paul is very clear. The one who rebels against the authority will bring God's judgment on himself. And like it or not, Paul says, submitting to the authorities includes paying your taxes. The rationale St. Paul records here is reminiscent of what we heard last week from 1 Corinthians, that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Here Paul writes, the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. This is why you pay taxes. So it is a good and godly work for you to pay the taxes that you owe. You can do it with joy and a smile, because in doing so, you are providing for those whom God has called to serve him by serving you. Besides taxes, submission, respect, and honor are also to be given to the governing authorities to whom they are due. All of this, St. Peter writes, for the Lord's sake. In loving response to God, he would have us behave humbly in our interactions with others. This is foundational to how we as Christians fulfill not only the holy office of citizen, but all of the holy offices to which God has called us. Again and again in the New Testament, we are called to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but rather to have the mind among ourselves that is ours in Christ Jesus, a mind focused on humble service rather than pride and self-aggrandizement. This is true in the church, as we heard last week, in relation to government, and, as we'll hear next week, also in our family relationships. The verses Luther selected for citizens speak of two other duties. The first is to pray for all those in authority. St. Paul describes both the substance and the result of such prayers, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Because the civil authorities are established by God, and because they exist to preserve good order and to punish those who offend against it, it is good and pleasing to God that we commend these authorities to his care, that he would guide them in their work and guard them from temptation and harm. When he does this, and the governing authorities faithfully carry out the responsibilities God has given them, hindrances to peaceful and quiet living will be diminished, and we will have opportunity to pursue godliness and holiness. And yet the scriptures teach that obedience has a limit. Luther quotes our Lord's teaching, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Peter and the other apostles applied this principle when the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem forbade them from saying anything more about Jesus. They responded to those authorities, "We must obey God rather than men." Our duty to obey the governing authorities has one exception. We must not do so should the governing authority order us not to do what God has commanded us, or to do what God has forbidden us. In such a case, which thankfully in our nation is quite rare, our duty is to disobey the government in order that we might not transgress God's commands. Note, however, that this is not an excuse for wholesale rebellion. Disobedience is limited only to that which goes against God's express will. And that might mean submitting or being fined or imprisoned or killed if the government is abusing its authority. But the government must answer to God for these things, not to you or me. As we hear of these duties of government and of citizens, it's clear that in love God has provided not only for the forgiveness of sin and eternal blessedness through the innocent suffering and death of his Son, but that he also provides through civil government for order and public safety, protecting your religious and civil freedoms, your person and your property. For all this, it is your duty and mine to thank and praise, to serve and obey God. This is, as Luther writes, most certainly true. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.